Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I'm Richard Taylor, your host, and I'd like to personally thank you for joining us today. And I'd also like to give you a free gift. What that free gift is, a free copy of our book, The Life of a Gentleman. This is over 144 pages of information on living by the gentleman's code. And you can download your copy by visiting harrisonblakeapparel.com, going to the blog, and simply downloading your free ebook or audio version of that book. Before we get started today too, please, we'd like to ask that you could please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, because that really helps us to get this information out to more and more people who may be interested in subjects like these. But at this time, I'd like to welcome on my co-host, Charles. How's it going today?
Hey, I'm here again. It's great to be here, Richard.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We've been having some really good discussions the past few weeks. This podcast is really ramping up. A lot of people are sending in their reviews and dropping us a line on our inbox and asking questions. So it's getting engaging, and we can't wait to see where we go next. Today, I thought we'd talk a little bit about jewelry, because that's a subject that a lot of gentlemen are interested in, but sometimes they have some questions about what they should do with jewelry or how much is too much, things of that nature.
Now, when we're talking about how much is too much, it takes me back to Mr. T when I was younger. What was he known for?
When you say Mr. T, the first thing that comes to my mind is lots and lots of gold jewelry.
Yes, it was actually a bit too much. Now, I think we're dating ourselves a little bit, but I think I've seen him in a commercial where he was still having that jewelry upon his neck. Now, we're not talking about that type of thing as a gentleman, are we?
No, obviously that would be a bit too much, but your point is well made.
Yeah.
You can see how you kind of look like a cartoon character, larger than life persona, if you will, when you overdo it with the jewelry.
And no cause for Mr. T. I love Mr. T. I think he still has the same guns now as he did then. So Mr. T, if you're listening, I love your look. But we're talking about a streamlined look now and growing together as a gentleman.
Yeah. So the thing that really comes to mind with jewelry is that you want to be tasteful with it. You know, you don't want to overdo it. Now, if you have the means and you're a jewelry person, because some of us are and some of us just aren't, but if you have the means to buy yourself some nice jewelry, you want to make sure that you're not flaunting it, if you will. You know, why do you think that's a cause for concern?
Well, if you're flaunting it, then you may bring undue attention to yourself. What you have, others may desire it. So I know myself personally, I'm not too much of a jewelry person, but let me just ask you, when it comes to rings, how much is too much, or what should you wear?
There's a lot of wiggle room there, I guess, just due to your taste personally, but general rule of thumb is one ring per hand.
Okay.
Let's say if you're married, maybe you have a wedding ring on your left hand, and on your right hand, you might have a pinky ring or just another accent ring, but you kind of don't want to double and triple up. At that point, you kind of run the risk of looking like typecast mobster from a B film.
Yes. Know? Yes. And we're talking about that. We're not looking like characters. We want to look like gentlemen. So that makes sense. Now, what about our necklace? How many should you wear? Is it okay to wear the big fat gold ropes, or having the thing that hang down low, or can you just give us some tips on that, please?
Well, I guess if you're going for the gentleman's look, then those looks would be out.
Oh, okay.
Also, I think you could base a lot of it off of your profession. What would be frowned upon in the workplace? Yes. How would that look to others? If you're in sales, I don't think that's going to go over well, or if you're working at a bank, something like that. Also, it's going to look strange and a little bit out of place. So as a gentleman, you want to have a classy look, so, and also a dignified look. So you want to have a little caution when choosing a necklace. Now, there's nothing wrong with wearing a necklace. I personally wear one myself. I'm a fan of them, but again, discreetly. You know, have you ever seen those guys? They're usually younger guys. Okay. And they might have on a t-shirt or a jersey or something. And
yeah.
Even a polo shirt. But you see that their necklace pulled out so that everybody can see it. They have it kind of untucked and kind of on display.
Yeah.
How does that look?
It doesn't look right. It's just something is a little off from it. It's not underneath the collar, but it's like pulled up, kind of like it's a tie.
Right. So the thing about that is that's part of being discreet.
Yes.
When you see that, it's somebody screaming for attention. They're probably a little bit insecure and they're trying to say, look at me, look at me. But the thing about a necklace is if someone sees it, they see it. You know what's there. And so that should be really the main concern with a necklace.
Yes, and remember too, like I said, what you have, others may desire it. So you may bring some undue attention to yourself if you're flashing these things that are super expensive and somebody else may want it. If you're not the celebrity that can have the bodyguards,
yeah,
I don't think you should wear that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you have to think about your safety too, because you can get a little bit out of control, like you said, bringing unwanted attention to yourself. Perhaps if you're going out to a nightclub or things like that, and then everyone's starting to look and wonder, well, if they have that, then they probably have some cash. Who knows? You know, who knows what can happen? It could be a slippery slope.
Yes, it can. Now, when I'm getting my monthly boxes from Harrison Blake Apparel, I've noticed that it comes with some bracelets also too. Can you explain how can we wear those, or is it a gentleman look, or is it even dignified to wear those bracelets?
Sure. Nowadays, bracelets have become quite popular for gentlemen. You can wear them with a watch. They can accentuate. You can wear it right along with the watch.
On the same hand?
On the same hand. Or you can wear it to accent the other hand. Maybe a watch on your left hand and a bracelet on the right. Now, one thing you do see sometimes if you are on social media, perhaps a platform like Instagram, and you follow fashion trends, you see a lot of guys sometimes even tripling up with the bracelets.
Yeah, yeah, I do see that. It's kind of like they got handcuffs on their wrists, so to speak. Like both hands, they have 3-4, they have things just hanging from it and dangling. Now, I know there's no rules to fashion, but how does that look?
Well, I think we're going to let this one fall under the category of personal preference.
Okay.
Ask yourself this. Would a gentleman in your mind, would they do that? Would they wear that? How would it look to others that see you with maybe 4 bracelets on one wrist? Just think about a classic look. Is it classic to you? You don't have to answer that. Answer it in your mind. Is that classic to you? We'll just leave it there.
Yeah, that's a rhetorical question that each of us have to internalize that and think about that. So we got the ring. We said, okay, one per hand. That's a good look.
Sure.
That's a good look. We got the necklace to say maybe one necklace. And if we have to, just leave it tucked in. We don't have to put it on display. That's a great tip there. And then when it comes to bracelets, what was the tip again for bracelets?
You can wear it with a watch or on the opposite hand as well. But also, you want to keep in mind the type of material that's used. If you're using like a wooden material or a rope or a leather material, that's more casual. If you're dressed in a suit, then you might want to have a stainless steel or a precious metal type of bracelet, because that would be more of a classier look. So if you're out in the summertime and it's hot, let's say you're going to a festival, a music festival, and you're dressed casually, then you would probably want to go with leather or beads, some type of wood bead or natural stone, kind of for an earthy look. But if you have a business meeting or a business engagement or a nice dinner at a fancy restaurant, then that would be the time to pull out the stainless or gold or platinum type bracelet and pair that with a more of an upscale watch. And speaking of watches, I believe that would be the most important piece of jewelry for any gentleman.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. We didn't want to leave out the watch because that is so important. Now tell us, why do you think that is a statement piece?
That is a statement piece for every gentleman because it's timeless. I know a lot of us today have cell phones. Not a lot of us. Okay, let's be honest. All of us have
all of us.
And so when people ask what time it is, most of the time you have your phone in your hand anyway. So, you know, you look at your phone for the time, but still the watch is not going away. The reason for that is it's the most classic and timeless piece that a gentleman can have. And oftentimes for a piece of jewelry for a gentleman, it's going to be the most expensive piece that you can invest in. So you want to make sure that you're purchasing a high quality watch. You don't want to pick something that's a low cost, because in the area of watchmaking, low cost means it's going to be replaced much sooner.
Yes.
A watch can be a family heirloom.
Yes, it can. It can pass it on from generations to generations where your kids can enjoy them also too. Now, there's a trend that's going on now where you have a lot of fitness bands or fitness watches. What is your take on that?
Well, they serve a purpose. And yes, that, of course, we all are mindful of our shape and our intake and our diet. So those fitness bands are quite fashionable. But in fact, you know, the watch strap on those are interchangeable.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that are offering some high-end looks.
Yes.
Some nice leather, or even some nice stainless steel bands that you can put on with your watches so that you're, if you're keeping track of your steps and things like that. I know you do that.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so of course you can do that, but I think in a business setting, or if you're going to make a strong impression, you want to have your go-to standard, if you will, watch that you wear. Every gentleman should have at least one in their staple.
Those are some great tips. Now, is there any other gentleman tips that you have when it comes to the flash or jewelry?
I think one of the most important tips I could give is that less is more. As we said, you don't have to be bedazzled out in diamonds and bling.
Yes.
Just shining everywhere. Sometimes a watch with a nice, sturdy leather strap, well-made, hand-stitched, with a unique face to it, will stand out more than something that's just bright and shiny. And oftentimes too, when you're wearing jewelry, have one statement piece on. If you have the watch,
yes,
just let that watch do the talking for you when you walk in the room. You don't have to have the watch and then also on the other hand have the bracelet and then you have
the ring.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? The, yeah. And the necklace.
Yeah, so it's not all about screaming me, 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 look at me. But a gentleman walks into the room and it's those subtle details that makes them stand out from the rest.
Yes, and like you said, less is more. And I think it's very important. This leads us right into a great interview that you was able to discuss. Tell us a little bit about that.
We have an exciting interview with Randy Williams from Tally and Twine that we're going to get into in just a moment. He started his own watch company. He was a watch connoisseur for years and finally decided to take the jump into producing watches himself. And as a special bonus, listen to this interview because inside of it, he's going to give us a discount code.
Discount?
Yes, a discount code to save on his high quality watches. Are you ready for this?
Let's go.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Hello everyone, welcome back to this segment that we call The Gentleman's News. And this week we're excited to have on a special guest. This gentleman, Randy Williams, is from the company Tally and Twine. And what they do is create amazing looking watches that I'm sure the audience, you guys are going to really enjoy these, and you're really going to enjoy this interview. Randy, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, man. Thank you very much for having me.
Definitely. Thanks for agreeing to come on The Life of a Gentleman and talk about some of the amazing products that you guys offer. If we could ask you, just to start off, when was this company started and how did you come up with the idea?
Well, we started, I think, conceptually in 2013. And it actually happened on my lunch break at work. I was pulling back up into my parking space, coming back from my lunch break. I was on the phone with my wife. But a backstory on it is my wife would always get me a watch for every special occasion. So for my birthday, Christmas, all that, she would always give me a watch. It would be my standard go-to gift. And then eventually it became increasingly harder for her to find timepieces that matched what I was looking for.
Right.
You know, if they had the design that I was looking for, then they were out of my price range. It was thousands of dollars. And then if they had the price that I was looking for, then the quality wasn't good, or the design was just a knockoff of some of the more popular brands. I'm sure as a watch person, you know how they do that.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So I was looking for something that really didn't exist. And so when I pulled up back to my lunch break, I just asked my wife, what do you think about me starting a watch company? And she said, yeah, sure, go for it. And that was all the juice that I needed. And I went right up to my office that day and started sketching out designs at work, and just began working on it before and after work every day until I got something that I was satisfied with. And then from there, we started the manufacturing process.
Oh, that's an amazing story right there, how the concept got started. And we got to give some kudos to your wife for supporting you with that idea. Okay. And that is awesome, man. So now that you've got the sketches drawn up, how did you go about, because I mean, I'm sure the audience is wondering, where would you even start to manufacture a watch? And the thing about it, you don't just offer some ordinary, plain looking watches. I mean, your pieces are high end. I mean, it really has a very prestigious look to them. So how did you go about the journey of finding the manufacturing and so forth?
Yeah, I want to say that, you know, a lot of people don't know what the next step is in doing something like that. Maybe they have a product that they want to have designed, but they don't really have anything other than an idea or a sketch. And I do want to tell the audience that neither did I when I started sketching it out. And what I realized is that in the past, in other business ideas that I've had, you can kind of overwhelm yourself with the details and you can get ahead of yourself. And so what I said to myself during this process is I was going to take it step by step and not look too far ahead to the future to the point where I got discouraged. Because if you start thinking about how am I going to get it made, how much is it going to cost, that's going to stop you in the early beginning stages when all you really want to do is at least get a prototype design. And so for the next step for me is after the sketches, I went and had a graphic rendering done. So I hired a freelancer off of, at the time it was Elance.com, now it's known as Upwork.com.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hired a freelancer, and they did a graphic representation of the watch. So I was able to actually see it, you know, kind of come to life in regards to that. So after I did the graphic representation, we did a 3D model of the watch, also another freelancer who was able to do a 3D model so I could see the dimensions of it, what size I wanted to be, etc., what materials it would be made out of. And then from there, I took that design to a manufacturer. And then we went back and forth on the design, back and forth on samples for several months until we got it exactly how we wanted it.
Man, that sounds like that took a lot of patience, but the way you did it was really smart, because you're able to kind of see it blossom, as it were, every step of the way and know what you were really getting into. That's some good advice for those budding entrepreneurs out there. Now, I'd like to ask you about the name, Tally and Twine. How did you come up with the name for the watch?
That's a good question. Well, I said that when I created the company, I didn't want to, number one, I didn't want to do what everybody else was doing in terms of their names. And then number two, I wanted it to stand for something significant, because I believe that everybody, no matter what your vocation is and no matter what you choose to do, you've been given a certain level of influence to kind of guide, teach, inspire other people along the way in what you're doing. So the first thing is, I noticed a trend. You may have noticed this trend. Everybody is shortening their names now. So all the companies, you see all these companies and they take the vowels out of their names and they got this cool 2016 name.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to do, I said, whatever my name is, it's going to be long. So I want to do the total opposite of what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go against the trend, because I know a lot of times when things are hot like that and it's a trend, it can kind of burn out. And in creating this brand, I want this to be around for decades and decades. So I didn't want to create something that just sounded good for now. I wanted something that was kind of a timeless feel. And then secondly, I wanted it to stand for something. So Tally and Twine is actually an intersection in the city where my company is founded. And that intersection used to be a notorious housing project. And I heard about it from the time I moved to Virginia, about how bad it used to be in terms of crime and drugs and violence. And that same area now, those residents are now homeowners. So the people who used to live in that area have now been given the opportunity to become homeowners, actually own real estate and raise their families there. And I thought that was a great representation of what the company should stand for. You know, you don't have to finish the way that you started.
Yes.
And that happens at the intersection of Tally and Twine.
Oh, that's a very inspirational way to name the company. And I'm sure it probably brings a lot of pride to the people that live in that neighborhood as well. Have you got any feedback on the name from the residents?
I mean, we get emails every day, you know, from people in the area, like, hey, I was raised in that area, or I was raised nearby. It's called the, it's a Hampton Roads area, so that, there's actually seven cities that are in, nearby. So we get feedback from them all the time about how happy they are that something is being done. And then on top of that, we're also making sure that we do things here in the local community. We just had our first Father's Day event where we just honored fathers. They didn't have to pay anything. We got them and their families, and we just gave away prizes all day. We did it at a resort here on the beach.
Oh, beautiful.
In addition to that, we've done things like sponsored murals to kind of reshape the scope of, you know, how things look in the area. So we're just trying to make sure we keep our hands on the pulse of that and just stay true to, you know, the area where the name came from.
Oh, man, I'm loving that concept. That seems like a lot of social initiatives doing some great things where you're at. We got to give some credit to you there. Now, about the watches, though, what kind of style of watches? Could you kind of describe the range of styles for the listeners?
We've taken a page out of some of the most successful companies. One thing that I wanted to do was I didn't want to have five different watch faces starting out. If you look at the companies who've been around for 50, 100 years, they kind of pretty much have the same face.
Sure.
And that creates their brand. So when you see it, you know that it's that particular style of watch. So that's what we were going for in terms of that. But I did want to give people variety. I know men like variety. And so in doing so, we have three main styles. We have our canvas or our NATO straps. Those are the colorful bands. They're interchangeable. Then we have our leather bands that go along with it. Those are leather NATO straps, which is basically, you know, a solid piece of leather. And then we have our metal band. So we have those three categories of styles.
Okay, so there's something there for everybody, no matter if you want to go casual or go business.
Exactly.
They've got you covered.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. If you don't mind sharing, what are the price ranges for these watches, just so people can have an idea before they jump on the website and get ready to buy?
Yeah, no problem. As of right now, they're starting at $175 for our canvas band, $195 for our leather band, and then $235 for the metal band watches.
Okay, yeah. So they're priced. It's a good price. Definitely lets people know that it's high quality. It's not a low quality piece at all by any stretch of the imagination. And when you see the pictures, for the listeners, when you guys see these pictures of the watches, you're going to be drooling. You're going to want one. I can assure you of that. Hey, Randy, what are some of the plans that you have for the future for your company?
We want to keep our pulse on our customers. You know, we've been given a lot of opportunities to kind of expand and go into wholesaling, and we've chosen not to do that for the most part because we want to still touch the people in terms of being a new company and still putting your fingerprint on what it means to buy something from Tally and Twine. And I think that's important starting out. I think in November, that will be our second full year of selling online. So we're still just a baby. But in terms of the future, I want to make sure that we continue to listen, continue to keep listening to the customers, delivering excellent customer service. We create what we call our Make It Right guarantee. That means that if you have a problem with any of our watches, we will make sure we rectify that situation to the point where you are satisfied. All of our timepieces come with a 2-year, no questions asked guarantee for any mechanical damage or anything like that. And what I noticed is that we've become numb to customer service. People are so unaccustomed to getting good service that when you do it, it stands out.
Yes.
And so I believe for us, that's a selling point. You know, that's something that we want to use to differentiate ourselves, because it's not being offered in the market. And as a small company, we are able to do it to that level. And just seeing the response that our customers have been giving us is something that we want to continue. We don't want to grow so fast that that gets watered down. So no matter how we grow, we want to make sure we incorporate that. But also, we're releasing new products. We have available for pre-order now travel hanging toiletry bag. Yeah, and it's available for pre-order on our website. It'll be available in September. So we're just adding products that will complement our timepieces for the most part, and just focusing on just growing our base and getting the word out. Door shows like this really helps as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We appreciate you being willing to come on and tell everyone about the watches. Now, here's another question that might be good for those that have a watch or will be purchasing the Tally and Twine watch. How do you care for or store your watch? Because I've seen guys do different things. It'd be important to know the right way to really care for your watch and store it.
Yeah, man. If you're investing in a good timepiece, the main thing to keep in mind is that, you know, it's a piece of metal. So every scratch that you accumulate on it, it's going to build up over the years. We use a high grade of stainless steel, so it's a hardened material. However, you can't just beat it up. It's still a delicate timepiece. And we have polished steel, so that's important. So we recommend storing it in velvet or suede. We have velvet lined travel watch roll available on our website as well. So it has 7 slots, and that's what I keep mine in, so they aren't damaged. In terms of care, you know, it really doesn't need too much care. You just polish it up. Make sure you keep the battery changed every 2 or 3 years. That's how long our batteries last. You know, if it's a good watch, it should keep ticking for you. It shouldn't have any problems.
Oh, sounds great. Those are some good tips, because, you know, you see a lot of guys just kind of slam it down on the dresser.
Yeah, that's the most convenient way. And that's why the suede line cases that you just sit on your shelf, the valet boxes, you familiar with them?
Yes, yep.
Yeah, valet, use the key, just make sure it's covered in, you know, suede or velvet or something like that, so it doesn't get damaged. It's really a hassle. They try to go and pack them away every time.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, when you're making a nice investment into a timepiece, the last thing you want to do is ruin it, you know? Hey, so...
You definitely think twice about where you put it down.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, you want to treat it with care. I mean, it takes some pride in it, for sure. Now, here's a question we like to ask everyone who comes on the show. What does living the life of a gentleman mean to you?
I think, you know, as someone who was raised by my grandmother, being a gentleman just means that adhering to those principles that just won't go out of style. You know what I'm saying? Please and thank you.
Sure.
Opening doors and, in general, treating people like you would want to be treated, even better, more so, especially in terms of a company. For those entrepreneurs out there, your company should have that personal approach. You know, you're treating every customer as if they were one-on-one. And every interaction is like that, like you're speaking to them face-to-face and like it's a personal friend. And so in terms of that, being a gentleman just means that, you know, as my grandmother used to always say, whatever you do, do it right. You know, hold yourself to the highest standards. Always deliver more to people than they expect. That's been working for us.
Man, that's some great advice, and we can definitely tell that you care about your customers and that you care about providing a quality product for the customers as well. Now, could you tell us how people can get in touch with you on social media and also your website? So if they're interested in learning more about the company or making a purchase, they can do that.
Yeah, sure. Instagram and Facebook, Tally and Twine, TalleyandTwine. Our main social media platforms are Instagram and Facebook. And then our main website where you can purchase our timepieces is tallyandtwine.com. A-N-D is spelled out. And also, I want to do something special for your listeners, Richard.
Sure.
Anybody who is listening to the podcast and uses the code TLOG, as in the life of a gentleman, TLOG, you get 10% off of any purchase on our website with that code.
Wow. Hey, thank you so much. I didn't know you were going to do that, but man, that is a blessing for the listeners. Again, that was TLOG, 10% off, guys. So please support this great brand support Randy Williams and the social initiatives that he's also doing, making a difference in the lives of others. Randy, we want to just thank you for taking your time and coming on The Life of a Gentleman and sharing your story, sharing your journey, and letting everyone know about your products. We thank you.
And thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It's a great talk.
All right. Hopefully in the future we can have you back on if you'd be willing.
Most definitely.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon.
Here's a brief word from our sponsor. This podcast has been brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel. Visit them online for a great selection of neckties, pocket squares, and menswear accessories. Want to really step up your style? Join their monthly subscription club. For $25 per month, you'll receive one necktie plus four additional matching accessories. And now it's time for the segment we like to call The Gentleman's Look. A look into fashion, style, and accessories. This is The Gentleman's Look.
Welcome back to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast, and today we are joined by one of our new resident stylists, David Rochez, and he's going to be coming on and sharing some of his experiences in the fashion industry, some tips as a stylist, and really all overall just give some enthusiastic input into the life of a gentleman. David, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, guys. Today I want to speak about men being more confident and stir with their decisions on styling themselves, dressing themselves, and what they do and do not like with their body and their body types.
Oh, man, that is a very important subject because we know we get a lot of people that they always say, well, how can I style this or how do I style that? So this is a very appropriate subject. So go right ahead. What is there any tips that you have for one who may not have that confidence?
Be to understanding your body type. You know, there's a lot of things that skinny guys can't wear, and there's also a lot of things that bigger guys can't wear because their body frame is too big.
That is true, because I always say that we are always numbers and we're not letters, meaning that we have to know exactly what our numbers are, because the proper fit on us will make clothes look good. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree. Next up would be in confidence. Because if you don't have the confidence to put something off, then a lot of people will notice it. It'll be more along the lines of the clothes wearing you rather than you wearing the clothes.
Yeah.
That's a good tip there. Now, what would you say to the guy that lacks confidence? He's a little bit nervous, not sure which way he should go as far as his style. What encouragement would you give him?
I would say to try little things, you know, add little colors, patterns, textures. You don't want to go full-fledged into a certain fashion type if you're not educated on that fashion type.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Okay, now let's just paint a picture for our listeners. Now, when you said color, just say I'm a kind of bigger guy, and I'm coming in and I say, hey, I have a date for the first time. What type of color and what type of patterns do you think I will look good in?
That's a little tricky of a question. But I would say solid just at first until you understand the girl or the person, if you understand yourself. Probably stay away from pinstripes because of the body type. It can, you know, sometimes make you look bigger or make you look smaller.
Yeah, so kind of going with a solid at first, that's pretty much a wise move. What do you kind of like to use? What accessories to kind of accentuate a little bit of color and have fun?
Accessories. I think the tie and the socks, they speak volumes. Women love socks. So I would say do the socks. A sock can be its own world in a sense if you understand that. Like you can throw on a crazy or cool pair of socks that complements the suit, complements what you're wearing, but also stand on its own by itself. A tie is the same way, but you still want the tie to complement everything together because that's what people see. That's what women see, they see ties. But accessories that I wear are bracelets. I love my watch. I have to have a watch on, certain suit watch. I do wear glasses, lapel pins sometimes, a pocket square at times, but it all has to be in the right kind of, I don't say atmosphere. You don't want to be overdressed, but you want to be like just the right amount, the perfect balance of, yeah, just the perfect balance.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and you're giving us a lot of information and dropping some knowledge. Now going back there, we talked about a person just now getting this confidence, or one is understanding their body's type, The other one is getting the confidence. What is another tip that you have for us?
So the third, which is probably the should be the first, is getting the right tailor for you. There are plenty of tailors out there that have their own perspective on what men's fashion or what men's style is, but you come with your own perspective on things. So if you go to a tailor and he's telling you something that you don't want, then you shouldn't go to that tailor because he's not like understanding what you want as a person.
Yeah, so what you're saying is you kind of have to take control. Sure, they're going to do the skillful part of it, but you're still picking out the design. I guess that goes back to your first point. You have to know what you want because you don't want someone dressing you. Have you ever seen that where somebody's getting dressed by someone else?
Yeah, of course. Again, I'm in retail, so I see it all the time.
So the only person that really have to get dressed or you have to dress them is a child, not a grown man, right?
Yeah, not a grown man, no.
So what would you say to those persons, again, who is coming in, who they just look flustered and they don't know what's going on? We know getting the right tailor was the third tip. Is there any other tips that you have for this man?
Do your research. I think that should be another high tip, because if you don't do your research, you're not going to understand, you know, what's out there in fashion or in trend. You can do research by going to stores, blogging, or just going on different blogs. Social media is like a big thing. You go on, you know, there's tons of Twitter accounts, bloggers, or just Pinterest accounts also that would help you find what you want to find. So just doing your research will be another tip of mine.
Now, when you're talking about doing your research, what type of research should we be looking at or looking for? Just for deals, or what type of research are you talking about?
Not so much deals, but more along the lines of styles. So if you want like a versatile style, preppy style, business casual, business style, so things of that nature. Or do you want to be something like a hypebeast where, you know, you want to research sneakers, you want to research all the trends in ripped jeans or things like that?
Yeah, do you find at times that people kind of get pushed into certain styles and then they don't feel comfortable?
Yeah, I would say no, only because you should have the confidence in what kind of style you want for yourself rather than, it's always good to, you know, dibble and dabble a little bit, but you shouldn't be forced into a style and then not like it.
And that makes sense, David, because if you're forced into a corner, you're going to come out fighting, or your clothes are going to be looking like that is fighting against you. So,
yeah.
So that makes perfect sense. Now,
Now
on your blog, we love it. And one of the comments that you made a difference between style and fashion, because that's what I always talk about.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what's the difference between style and what's the difference between fashion?
So, and this is like an awesome question, because people get it confused a lot. You can't have, fashion is what you buy in the store. Fashion is, you know, going to a certain store and be like, okay, I want this look, this complete look, I want it off the rack, I want it for me. That's fashion. Style is, all right, I have these pair of Adidas, and I have these pair of denim from Top Man, let me put that together. Oh, I have this shirt from Two Supplier, J. Crew, okay, let me add that together and see how it comes out. So it's adding high and low. That's what style is. Style is adding the high brands with the low brands and mixing them together. You know, adding a hat or adding a watch and tie or something like that. That's what style is. Style is your perspective on things.
Oh, that's exciting to hear. And it's also nice to hear that everything doesn't have to be expensive, does it?
Correct, yeah. I thought it was thrifting. So thrifting has been a difference in my life. I found a Christian Dior suit for $1. I found a Zara blazer for $10. And, you know, once you get it tailored, once you get it dry clean, looks brand new, you rock it and it's yours. And no one knows.
Yeah, that's the best part. No one knows but you, and you're walking around smiling. It seems like those clothes fit a whole lot better once you find out what kind of an amazing deal you got on them. Hey, you know, I just had an idea. I think it'd be great if maybe you could come back on and talk about thrifting, because it seems like you've had a lot of experience in that.
Yeah, man. Thrifting, like I said, it changed my life. I started 1 year and I never looked back. So, and I can tell you like about all the finds that I found thrifting. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. But it keeps you unique in a sense, because not everyone's gonna get the same thing you thrift. Rather than, you know, if you go to an H&M or a Zara where everyone gets the same thing.
Yeah, everybody kind of imitates everyone else, it seems like. But it's kind of nice that you find those unique finds and kind of stand out on your own, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah, that's what style is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference between style and fashion. That's what we learned.
Yep.
That you stand on your own. You look at the pieces you have within your closet, or you can go to a store and you can visualize how this piece yep. will connect with the other piece.
Visualization, that's very much key. Think about what's in your closet, because you're the person that knows. So if you know you have a white shirt and you were looking for a pair of gray slacks, all right, you see it in your head, like, man, this is gonna be cool in the morning when I go to work or something like that.
Yeah, that's nice. I think you're really getting everybody excited about digging around in the closet and finding some great finds, mixing it up. And I think it's great to have you coming on the podcast as a new voice, giving a fresh perspective to the audience. So we want to thank you for coming on today. But before you go, could you give us one final gentleman's tip of the week?
So the final tip of the week, I would say learn to eat better, because once you tailor your clothing, you can add material, you can add fabric to your clothes or to the garment, only because that's already tailored to your body type. So if you add weight, you know, you can't go back from that. So learn to eat better, learn to take care of your body and your mind, because that's going to be the biggest difference. Building confidence in yourself.
Man, well, thank you, David. That is a great tip. We learned so much about, one, understanding your body type, two, having the confidence, three, getting the right tailor, and four, having some research and eating healthier. Thank you very much for being a resident stylist for us, David, and we look forward to having you again. But before we go, is there any place that people can follow you on social media, or can you tell us the outlets that you have that people can follow?
Yeah, of course. Again, thank you for having me on the show. It was a blast. Huge opportunity.
Welcome.
And my social handles are, for Instagram and Twitter, would be the same. It would be _FROMNYTOTX from New York to Texas. And my website would be www.FRMNYTOTX.com. You can also find my social handles on that, on the website.
All right, great. Everybody, definitely follow him on social media. Check out the blog. There's a lot of great, valuable information on there. And David, we look forward to having you come on a future episode of The Life of a Gentleman.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another episode of The Life of a Gentleman podcast. Today, we had a great conversation at the outset talking about jewelry. I hope you learned a lot of things that could help you in when selecting pieces of jewelry, especially with an emphasis on finding your signature watch. Also, we had a very exciting interview and learned so much about the company Tally & Twine. We want to extend a great thank you to Randy Williams for coming on and being so generous as to offer us a 10% off discount code using the code TLOG on Tally & Twine's website. That's 10% off anything from their website. Thanks again to Randy Williams. Also, we had another stylist come on this week, David Rochez. Follow him on Instagram, _FROMNY2TX. We appreciate him coming on and sharing some styling tips with us. And we look forward to next week when Dennis will be back with us sharing his style tips as well. Lastly, we want to send a special thanks to our producer, who does an awesome job for us every week. And next week, we look forward to another exciting episode of The Life of a Gentleman. Lastly, I'd like to thank my co-host, Charles, for coming on, being in studio, and joining us in this discussion. Please, if you would, could you rate, review, and subscribe to The Life of a Gentleman podcast? And if you have any questions or would like to be featured, please drop us a line, podcast@harrisonblakeapparel.com. Until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake monthly subscription club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndre Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured,
please visit www.itsdeandremarie.com.